listening to Vet Candy.
Hello, Vet Candy Universe, and welcome to this episode of Vet Candy IRL. And I'm your host, Shannon Gregoire. So today I have this phenomenal veterinarian and vet school professor to bring to you, and you'll have to help me decide if her hair or her personality, which is bigger, because both of them are fabulous and phenomenal. So here is our Dr. Michelle Moyal. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, I'm so thrilled.
Hi. So where are you calling in from today?
I am calling from Ithaca, New York. I'm currently a clinical professor at the vet school at Cornell University.
Wow, that's amazing. Is it freezing there yet?
Yet. Fall has arrived. And because of that, we're having like a Game of Thrones moment where we're like, winter is coming. Like there's like a week of fall. We're like, look at these leaves. And then we're like, oh, there's probably going to be 6 feet of snow next week. Like something like that will happen.
Yeah. It's like 0 to 100 real quick.
100%. Exactly. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into vet med and what led you to teaching at Cornell.
Sure. So I'm from Queens, which is a borough in New York City. I'm a first generation American. And so I kind of grew up in this really unique household, you know, with different customs and culture, and went to school and went to college actually on an athletic scholarship, which was really fortunate for me. Basketball.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, I loved it. And I ended up playing some other sports, and I played water polo, which was an adventure. You know, I actually like talking to people about my background just because some people think you have to have a straight path to being a veterinarian. And sometimes it's just not like that. And so I wanted to be a veterinarian. And then, you know, I was an athlete and school was a lot of the time, and I just wasn't sure I was going to do it. And so I ended up majoring in sports medicine, and I studied to be a registered dietitian, right? Like thinking I could mix and match nutrition and athletics and be an athletic trainer for a team. And so, and I loved it. But when I was done, I was like, there's just something missing. I think I really need to chase my passion. And so I took some time away to work, you know, and I worked in the veterinary field. Like I started as a volunteer, and then I started like, got hired as an assistant, cleaning kennels, walking dogs, right? Then I worked way up to learning the technical stuff. And then fortunate for me, I was accepted into Cornell, and that's where I graduated from in the early 2000s. Same thing with my professional path. So I did an internship and I focused on emergency medicine and surgery at a specialty hospital in California.
Where in California?
San Diego.
Oh, hey, I love San Diego.
Yes, I was like, let's do it. There's no humidity. My hair will be smaller. I'll just get to like really focus on being a doctor because I won't have to defrizz as much. And I did my internship there. And then I stayed on teaching interns emergency medicine and surgery for quite a few years. I did overnights for like 7 years and then moved back to New York City and transitioned back into general practice. And so as a lot of general practitioners or primary care doctors know, you know, you see a ton of emergencies, you do a ton of surgery, you just never know what you're going to be when you're in general practice. And being in a place with lots of different communities, because Queens is like, it's a melting pot in and of itself, and different financial capabilities, I really focused on doing a lot of surgery to help people that couldn't refer, you know, or be referred to a specialist. And so did that, and also pursued some rehabilitation training at the University of Tennessee, because I love all of the things. Like I love veterinary medicine in general, and I just want to keep learning.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I love that you're saying that, because you're like in it right now. Like, and so
I'm on the edge of my seat. You can't see me, but that's what's happening.
But I always wanted to be like that for young doctors, because I still feel like I'm that way. And, you know, I worked with a lot of new doctors not that I saw things that were lacking necessarily, but saw where there could be like real life experience that would help them with hands-on skills, conversations with clients that they weren't. So Shannon, spot on. And this is what I tell my students. Right? We could teach you the differentials for like PUPD, right? Or you can go look something up in a book. You know, we're all like quickly researching, but it's having the tough conversations and all of these things. There are a lot of emotions in veterinary medicine that we have to tackle that we don't quite learn in school. And so at that point, I thought that my perspective might be better in an institution where I could like help make great doctors.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know it's going to sound really ridiculous. And if people are listening, they're going to be like, is she serious? But I really do just want to make the world a better place, right? Like I love being a veterinarian. And so that brought me to Cornell. And I started there at the height of the pandemic in March of 2020.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. In today's world, veterinary professionals have to stay current to stay relevant. That's why Vet Candy is launching master courses for continuing education. Courses are led by subject matter experts who guide participants through the latest research and cutting-edge technologies. The programs are free for veterinary professionals and can be accessed 24/7 on myvetcandy.com. Upon completion of a course, participants receive a Vet Candy Certificate of Completion, continuing education credits, and access to exclusive tools to help celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment. Want to learn more? Check out myvetcandy.com/certification today.
Wow, right as the bomb dropped.
I mean, yeah, it was really crazy. It's just kind of a different world. I'm sure we all know. And I know how hard it was for you guys, like studying and being in the middle of school with the pandemic, huh?
Yeah, it's still annoyingly complicated because of that, but.
I totally get it. And you guys are super resilient because I couldn't imagine what it would be like. And when I got there, I was hired to teach students and there were no students, right? So we had no students there because pandemic. And so I did what I hope most good general practitioners would do. I volunteered and I worked as an emergency doctor. And by volunteer, I mean, I still worked a job, but like I worked my job working emergency medicine because that's where the need was. And so it was really nice for me to, you know, jump right in and practice and do my thing there and help the surgery team and help emergency until I got to start with students.
Yeah. How has it been going from emergency, transitioning to GP, and then doing some emergency relief again? How was that?
It's actually not as bad as one would think. You know, I often tell students, because I think students are like, you know, I want to do emergency, like general practitioner life is not for me. It's really slow. And this is not because I've worked on both sides of this discussion, not argument, right? It's that a lot of people go to their general practitioner first with their emergencies, right? They have an established relationship. They trust them. They might be worried about cost, you know, and there's a lot to that relationship, right? And so I think young doctors don't realize how many emergencies they see in general practice. So the transition wasn't bad. Going from emergency to general practice, I was like, there's nothing you can throw my way, right? But we kind of have to learn, I had to kind of revamp myself on vaccine protocols and some chronic disease management. But that's what vets do, right? Like it's our prerogative to kind of like learn that stuff and do new things.
Yeah, refresh the brain.
You're like doing that now while you study for your boards. You're like, what do cows get? What do cats get? Yes.
Yeah, literally, that's the question that keeps rolling through my head. Wait, what was this? Oh yeah, okay.
I don't know, pigs. Malignant hyperthermia. That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go. Let me go. Yep. Exactly. And then when did you start actually teaching students again?
I graduated my first class this past May. So August of last year. So this past May, so I graduated the class of 2021. So yeah, we finally made it. I did the whole COVID thing. And then in the spring of 2020, well, summer, I started in clinics and then graduated my first class. So proud of them.
That's so amazing. What classes do you teach over at Cornell?
Sure. Great question. I teach a rotation called primary care surgery. And so this is a surgical, I'm going to call it a surgical rotation because of course surgery is a focus, but it's a surgical rotation based on what we would do in general practice. So we do spays and neuters, we do mass removals. So whatever the shelter has, umbilical hernia repair, we've done inguinal hernia repairs, we do cherry eyes, we do like whatever they have, like gastropexies, I will let the students do. Like, and we do it together. And, but the goal is still the overall patient. So it would not be right of me to just have them do surgery and not understand what general practice is like. So they have to look at the whole patient. So we work on physical exams. We work on talking, on describing the conditions to the client. Then we do surgery. Then we talk about pain control. Then we talk about post-op care. So
the whole shebang.
Yeah. It's like a super duper primary care party.
Love it. Primary care party.
Yeah. I also appreciate if I had three P's in there, the alliteration really would have been a winner, but I really just want them to understand that general practice is not easy. Like it's super busy. And so they have to kind of multitask. Like I ask them questions while they're doing surgery because that's what happens, right? Like a receptionist comes in and is like, Mrs. Smith is on the phone and she wants to know her fecal results. Is that okay? And Brown needs his meds. Can we refill heartworm? You know, and you're there like doing your thing, it's really important to me that they understand how stressful it can be. And so I'm trying to instill that in them now.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're just, you know, trying to suture this midline incision and someone's asking you about all these random questions. So your hand's got to keep suturing while you're thinking about the answer to the question and you're looking at the anesthesia, making sure the patient's alive.
So that's exactly right. And so while it may seem a little odd that I'm doing this because it can get a little chaotic. So I also let them pick the music. So the surgeon gets to pick the music that's playing in the OR. So like sometimes I'm dancing right next to them. So that can be a little distracting, but I've got rhythm. So like, you know, I've got the moves at least. And the conversation is there and I'm interrupting with, you know, anatomy questions and what would they do and why are they picking the suture they pick? Because I want doctors that can reason through scenarios as they happen. And so maybe a little unorthodox with the music and the dancing, but surgery is a stressful time. And if I could like bring the stress down a little, I don't think I do it that much because I'm also asking them questions.
You balance it out, right?
I'm trying to balance it out, you know, then I'm hoping that they have the moment later on. And I have had it said to me later that they didn't know at the time, but then when they're doing surgery, like someone's asking them a question and they were able like not to look up, they just kept going and answered. And it's a really, like really proud moment for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the GP practitioner is the circus ringleader of veterinary practice where you have to be, I feel like, you know, you're a little slice of each specialty all wrapped into one, and you have to do a little bit of all of them all at the same time.
Yes. And I always tell people, like, imagine going to your dentist and being like,
how's my heart?
But could you check my heart? And I've got a little mole. And I think I might need my spleen removed. If you could just make that happen, that'd be great. And of course, a nail trim, because
you can't go to the vet and leave without a nail trim. It's like sacrilegious or something.
100% correct.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I wish I could take your amazing little surgery course.
Let me zoom in. It's okay.
Right? I could virtually be there.
The dancing looks the same no matter what screen you're on or in person, so it'll be fine.
Oh, awesome. So I can just like bust a move with you guys in the OR virtually.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to lie. This is an age thing, but I've done the running man. You know, I'm in there. I'm moonwalking across the OR floor in my booties, physical booties.
And laughter just helps, you know, alleviate some stress. We can laugh it out. Just laugh it out.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
this is Caitlin Palmer. You probably know me as the desk wench. You know, the sweet TikTok receptionist who has to deal with the evil Karen Stevens. Well, if you like that, you are going to love my new podcast, Desk Wench Confessions. On my show, I have funny guests who tell me about their own Karens. Plus, we have contests, giveaways, and skits. Trust me, you are going to love it. Check it out on a podcast platform of your choice on Vet Candy Radio.
I feel like the professionals and the veterinarians that I've learned the best from are the ones that are funny, the ones that make me laugh or, you know, have a good time teaching me, not the ones that stand up there that look like they would rather be doing anything else in the world than teaching me. That's when I don't learn anything.
I totally understand it. You know, what I tell everybody is that what I hope they understand is that all of the faculty members that are at your schools, you know, they're there because they want to be there, right? They care about the profession and they care about what you learn, but everyone has a different teaching style, right? And some will resonate with some and others. Like my energy level, let's say that of a Jack Russell Terrier, if I were to pick, right? Which I may have mentioned when I was interviewing at Cornell, by the way, I run around like Jack Russell. My energy is loved by some and not by others, right? And that's why it's nice to have like all of these different professionals. And I say, you take what you like, you leave what you don't, and then you mold it into one super vet. And that's your version of super vet.
Yep. And that's you as you walk across the stage with your diploma.
100%. Although I feel like super vet could be a really great costume seeing as Halloween is coming.
Right? Yes. You can use a Superman, but you could just be like, no, are you Superman? I'm like, no, I'm super vet.
Yeah. And then like, you could do something with a syringe and then like a stethoscope or like, just have your like, maybe like a gold painted glove, like you're going to do a rectal. Like, I just think it could go places. It could go places, Shannon. Shannon, you and I are on it.
Yep. I think we have a new, well, you know what? I think I'm going to call Marvel and be like, hey, I have a new superhero for you and they're about to save the world.
As a side note, last year I made a costume and I was PDS suture.
Oh, how did you do that?
If only, like I have photos, I'll have to like send it to you, but like it's a cardboard. I cut it out. I like painted stuff and hand drew it. I took a cartridge of PDS home and I like made the needle out of like a food container, like a silver aluminum pan and then suture. Oh my God. And my head poked right through the center, like where the needle was around, like in the center.
Wow. Oh my God. This is like artistic genius over here.
That's my claim to fame. Ethicon. Are you listening? Ethicon. I did that. It was great. It's fantastic.
Right. Be like, if you ever want someone to make more ideas from your suture into costumes, let me know. Call me.
Yes. If you need a superhero suture, I may be available.
Right. So what are some of the biggest things that probably like your students come back to you with after taking your course, that they like something big that's, you know, either impacted them or something that they've learned that you kind of hear frequently?
You know, I think this may sound, I try to incorporate a lot of different things into my rotation. We have a time at the end of each week, it's a 2-week rotation, where I kind of do, it's like a mix of mid-rotation feedback and a mental health check. And I tell them that we know what's going on in veterinary medicine right now, and their well-being means the most to me, right? Like I will do anything to make them successful. It's why when I'm at home, I have no life. Like I watch some Schitt's Creek or some Ted Lasso, and then I think about what the students do during the day and I try to make it better. Right? I literally just sit there trying to make, sometimes I wake up in the night, like, oh, I got it. This will help Shannon with her throws, you know, like this is what I do. And so disruptive, yes, but exciting for me also. Yeah. Right. And so I think about this. And so we have this check and I say, my belief is that veterinarians don't often take the time to reflect on what has happened because we have to move on. Right. And being a veterinarian, no matter what aspect of veterinary medicine you work in, it's a busy place and there are lots of things to do, right? And if you're in practice, COVID times are crazy times. That's just every practice is overwhelmed. Specialty doesn't matter. General practice doesn't matter. And so oftentimes I think we should take the moment to reflect. so we can kind of process things and then process, accept,
and release
what has happened and let it go. Exactly. Take what you can to learn from whatever you need, right? Because if we don't learn from what may be a mistake, I don't even like that word. Like we learn through, you know, these challenges as we're both young and old. So I can't say anything about that, but learn to let that go. The other thing is, and I'm going to say this to you specifically and all students, are you ready, students? Like toss a cat across the lap.
Toss a cat for for effect, right?
Yes. Please give yourselves some grace. We do not expect you to be perfect. You're a student or a young doctor. It takes time, I promise. Instead of walking out of a surgery and saying, I could have done that faster, I want to hear, wow, I just did a spay. That's what I want. Please celebrate the successes, because a lot of us don't. And once we establish that pattern, it's really hard. And so I've had quite a few say to me that mentally, it was nice feeling that even in a job that they went to after graduation, if they weren't happy, that they felt supported, that they would make the decision that was right for them because they took the time to process it. You know, and then I've had students make me cry because they've gone to externships and, you know, externship directors have been like, wow, you're ready to do surgery now. Like, we're confident, keep going. And then I'm like, oh, my babies. Like I cry and I'm not even, I wish I was lying. I physically am crying. I'm so happy. And so if a student comes back to me saying that they took anything out and they found it useful for the real world, because that's really important to me, introducing real world conversations and the fact that like clients don't have money and we have to talk about all these things, I am like super proud.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just to celebrate every small win, because yeah, you're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to expect myself to be perfect. The first time I go into an exam room by myself with a client and their pet, I'm probably going to like stop short of like probably going to scream into a pillow right before I go inside just to release some of the tension and just like the stress of that moment. But then after that, you know, you never have to do that again. So it's just one and done. And then every other appointment, you just get better and better at it and it becomes less scary.
It does. And with that, this is another thing about veterinary medicine, I'm laughing, but like, then there's a situation like you could never have anticipated. And you're like, how could I have even handled that?
Like some radioactive pet walks into your practice and you're like, why?
You know, I think when I was talking to Caitlin at the last kind of interview, you know, talking about a situation where a client took their shirt off in front of me to like, they gave me their shirt to give to their pet. No one can teach you that in school, right? No one could teach you how to interact. You know, I've dealt with, yeah. Laugh now. Me, young doctor, was like, ah, like your shirt. Oh, of course I'll give it to, I'll put it in the cage, right? Like there's the more sad moments where, you know, things get better, like medical knowledge wise, but, you know, you don't know how to handle someone that's euthanizing the dog that belonged to a deceased family member, right? Or you don't know that you're going to encounter someone so upset that you need to call the police. And these are the things that I think, you know, we don't know about, but we just kind of have to learn on the fly.
Yeah, there are so many just life situations that you don't really learn how to deal with until you have to deal with it right now.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it's super important to have doctors or technicians or, you know, someone in the hospital that maybe has seen something like that before or that can help guide you in making that decision and say, oh, hey, so-and-so did it this time, last time, or, you know, there's something in the, like the handbook or, you know, like a book where the doctors keep like tough situations or conversations and how they like to answer them, something like that. So that you have a resource to kind of, when you have a, oh, bleep moment, yeah, you can go somewhere to help you figure out what to do.
I love that. Mentorship is super important. Even if you can just roll a situation like that off of someone, you know, like, hey, you know, Mrs. Smith is a little upset. What do you think I can do here? Mm. You know, I try to talk through many different scenarios with the students, but obviously it's never the same until you are there, but still good preparation, even just to talk about it. You know, I think I gave a, a lecture to our VBMA. And I was like, guys, we could teach you all of these things, but when someone suddenly curses at you in the middle of a lobby, what do we do? You know, every vet has felt that.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Quincy Hawley, and I'm here to tell you about a new show. It's Vet Candy Rounds with the Hawleys. That's right, Dr. Tierra, the love of my life, and I have teamed up to bring you the most fascinating cases in the world. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or a podcast platform of your choice, only on Vet Candy Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you get some communication issues that turn into some very irate customers, some very irate pet owners. So it can definitely be challenging to go through that without letting their energy affect your move forward.
Yes, right. And veterinarians, again, no matter what aspect of veterinary medicine they go into, they tend to be very empathetic, right? So we, even though we may not agree with what they're saying, we feel people's emotion, we tend to, and that weighs on us. And that's part of why, you know, we need to process and kind of let things go along the way, but it's not easy.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely a learned skill for sure.
You'll get plenty of practice. No matter what you do, you'll be with people, right?
Mm-hmm. So what do you like to do when you're not creating, you know, superstar veterinarians with your rotation? What do you do in like your free time? Do you go to like dance parties or something?
I bring the dance party, right? Like I just dance. No, I like to do a lot of things. I do CrossFit.
Oh, so she's super strong.
she tries to be, right? And so I love it just because it's a mix of different exercises, right? So it always keeps it interesting and fun. And obviously I do some workouts at home when I'm not there because I was an athlete, right? So I kind of like to keep that going.
Yeah, you have that like little bug that's like, I need to exercise or I might go insane.
Yes. And you feel extremely successful. Like today, I was at the gym at 6 a.m., right? So I'm at 4:30 so I can go to the gym, be there, and then be at the hospital with the students.
Dedication.
Yes, right? It's dedication to your well-being. But in the same sentence, she's going to say that she loves to like bake. And so I also go to the gym so I can eat. So like, you know, all these people are at the gym and they're like clean eating, like, we're going to do this. We're going to lose weight. We're going to be strong. And I'm like, oh, hi guys. I'm here so I can eat chocolate, right? Like, so I can.
I mean, whatever motivates you is great. I mean, especially with the upcoming holiday season, I got to spend double the time in the gym so I can eat double the food at all these holidays.
You and I, we're going to be friends. That sentence alone. That's it. It's a connection.
I can eat double the food and no one will know because I just burned it all off 2 hours ago.
Right. Right. And so I've been baking a ton and I finally got, you know, like the pasta attachment for the KitchenAid mixer. So I've been making like real pasta, which is crazy. But again, it makes me feel very successful. I'm like rolling out the sheets of pasta. Like good thing I have a wingspan, right? Like, and so I've been doing a lot of that and it's just been nice. And again, just like officially moved into a house. So working on all things, you know, to make things up. The place a home.
Congratulations. Yay. That's so exciting.
And then, you know, dog and cat time. They're all around me.
Yes. That's perfect. The little minions running around everywhere.
Yeah. I've already adopted a dog from my service.
Oh gosh. You're in trouble.
I'm like, I've already taken one. But when I can, I try. Like I put them up on Facebook. I'm like, who needs a dog? Do you want a little dog? Do you want a big dog? Like I'm just like, right?
Going once, going twice to the man in the red shirt. Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's definitely, oh, it's so challenging. I did, I fostered dogs for a little while when I had, I mean, COVID classes, I guess, instead of my rotations because my boyfriend and I were just both working you know, I was in class all day on my computer. He was working on all day on his computer. So I was like, all right, we need something to make us, first of all, to make us get out of the house. And we were living in Southern California, away from all of our family, pets in Massachusetts. And we were really feeling it. We're like, oh my God, like we need some animal interaction, because both of us grew up having pets like constantly. So going to living without any pets was torturous.
Weird, right? And just odd, quiet and odd.
Yeah, it's way too quiet and super weird that you don't have anything like nudging you with a wet nose or like licking you somewhere. Like I'm used to getting bugged for treats and stuff.
I mean, I'm married, so it's close, but like, you know, nudge, nudge, cut that out. No, not the same. It's fine. Oh,
no, it can be pretty close. Yeah. Yep. I can imagine it would be, I think my mother would agree with that. Oh my goodness.
That's very cool. I'm glad you had that opportunity though. And then you get to meet and interact with, you know, quite a few animals, and then you allow them to present their best selves for their new home.
Yes, absolutely. And we had some of them that were just, I still think about them because they were so super cute. And I'm just so happy that all the ones we had got adopted. So it was super exciting to see. Like little babies, you know, going off and graduating vet school. It's like my little puppy's going off and getting their real home. Oh, so is your husband a veterinarian?
Actually, I'm married to a woman. Just
congratulations. That's amazing.
And so she does not work in the veterinary field, which for me is a nice thing, right? Because it's just a different, I think a lot of veterinarians like to come home and would find solace in sharing with another veterinarian or someone in the field. And I think in some cases, some people would find it challenging to have kind of the emotional, like carrying the emotional baggage from your veterinary job and then hearing someone else's, not that it's baggage, but just kind of sometimes it can be overwhelmingly emotional, right? And just like weigh you down. And so thank goodness I'm married to someone who works in technology.
Oh yeah. So she can fix all your computer problems. So you never have to worry.
Yeah. Like I've given speeches, like I do, you know, admissions talks for Cornell. And sometimes they're like, we don't know why that like the microphone isn't working. And I'm like, I don't know. I've got someone with me. I think she can help. Like, let's bring her over.
It's like a built-in, like a live-in geek squad, you know, like.
Exactly. And so really, that's why I'm in this. Like, divorce won't happen because I really just need to know how to turn a computer on.
Oh, that's fantastic. How long have you guys been married?
It will be, wait, what year is it going to be? Okay. It'll be seven years in the spring.
Oh, congratulations. That's amazing.
I actually appreciate you saying this. You know, I think it's good for our listeners and people who come across veterinarians and young students and young people who want to be in the vet field to know that vets come from all walks of life. You know, like I said, I'm this first generation American and I grew up with parents that aren't educated and, you know, didn't speak English. And, you know, I'm married to a woman and I just want people to know that like, you could do it if you want to. So that's another thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to be defined by the circumstances you were born in. You can do whatever you want in this amazing country. If you have a passion and you want to follow it, there's definitely a path for you there.
Exactly. Everybody's welcome.
Absolutely. Love to hear it.
Like if they can't see me, they don't know, but I'm throwing two thumbs up.
Right? They know that. They're like imagining this beautiful woman with her amazing
big curly hair
and her thumbs up. We should get a cartoon of you made like a GIF. You need a GIF of yourself.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. They're like, but it would be me like rolling out pasta and like having a thumbs up and like waving my flags. Like you could be whoever you want, you know?
Right. Yes. Do you guys have at Cornell for the people that, you know, maybe live far away and can't travel home for Thanksgiving, like a little like Thanksgiving on campus where you all make food? Because I think you would be really good at that.
I actually, and now that you say it, I'm like, I should have this. It's been a little bit difficult because of the pandemic, right? And so social gatherings, you know, we always like the safety of our students is paramount. And so we're really mindful of that. And so there are probably some organizations that might be doing small gatherings in and of themselves. And so we're trying to be cautious and not call a bunch of people together. Cause again, we want everybody to stay in clinics. Now that they're in clinics, we want them to stay in clinics.
Yeah. I don't know if my school's still doing it, but I mean, pre-COVID, because we only had like that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off for Thanksgiving. And I didn't want to fly back to the East Coast just to come back like 48 hours later. So they had anyone who was far away, and like some of the staff and stuff would like, one of the professors would bring a turkey and some other people, you just like sign up for what you wanted to bring. And we'd have like this little Thanksgiving the day before on campus at lunchtime.
I love that. And I'm sure something like that has happened. But again, I've joined during COVID. May not be obvious to me.
So some of those activities might be suspended. But yeah, I really like that because I'd gone to undergrad close to home. So I was always visiting home. I would never miss a holiday. And then I went to vet school far away and it was super weird to be far away.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because I was in Southern California working for so long and I wasn't near family and I was typically working holidays, right? And so it's kind of this neat thing to have. It's almost novel, like, oh, get Thanksgiving off. Oh my gosh. Like, and then I you know, stand in the middle of my house and I say like a silent prayer for all the ER doctors working. And I'm like, thank you so much. I really get to be off, you know, like this is, and like, I appreciate you guys every day because I know what it was like. Yeah. But it's like a really neat thing. Like, oh, I just eat. This is great.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty crazy. So hopefully the ER doctors all get to rotate which holidays they work.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy makes learning fun with the most fascinating people on our planet. Our entertaining, continuing education programs are made for your streaming world. Fabulous, fun, and free. Available on demand, anywhere, and anytime. Don't miss out. Subscribe today on iTunes, YouTube, or a platform of your choice. Or visit myvetcandy.com for more information.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Moyal. It has been such a fun conversation. I love your energy.
I know. Well, it's super fast. I'm like, oh my gosh.
We talked for so long already. I'm like, oh, these people are going to listen to our episode and be like, whoa, so much time has gone by.
That would, you know what? Like sometimes you just need like a little, like a great distraction on the drive home. And you're like, nothing sounds better than this kind of like, they could probably hear that I'm a, like a Jack Russell through the screen, you know, through the audio. Yeah. She's got a lot of energy. I'll listen to this on the drive, you know, just keep me awake.
Yeah. Keeps you awake, keeps you peppy, you know, in a good mood. So you don't get in fights with anyone on the road. Cause you don't need that.
Absolutely right. No road rage, people.
Nope. Don't do it. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I loved hearing about your journey and what you're doing at Cornell. I think they are super, super lucky to have you.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me on. You are awesome. And I really appreciate the opportunity to come here and chat.
Oh, thank you. I love meeting you and talking with you too. And I hope all of our listeners really enjoyed her story. And we can drop her contact information below if you guys have any questions for her specifically. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, guys. Woo-hoo. Ethicon, I'll talk to you. Email me whenever.
Yeah, right. Just sponsor her. It's fine. And thank you for listening to this episode of Vet Candy IRL. And I'm your host, Shannon Gregoire. We'll catch you next time.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy. It's Vet Candy Radio.